Wake up with the news and information you can trust. Starting your day the right way with the Andy Griffin Show. This is News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU.
Good morning, 908 on KDXU. I'm Andy Griffin. Thanks for tuning in today. With me, as always on Fridays, is one of my favorite females on the planet. Mello is here. Hi, Mello.
Good morning.
How are you?
It's a beautiful day.
I've got my mom and my daughters and my sisters, and you're like right after them.
I like that. Yeah, you need to clarify that because there could be some anger about that.
My wife is easily number one, and it's not even close.
She's amazing.
Yes. Yeah, she is. Welcome to the program. Today we're going to talk a little bit about what if I won the lottery? What would I do? How would it change my life? Would I buy a monkey? I don't know. I'm just saying. There are some things to consider. A lot of people say the lottery can be, of course, a tremendous blessing and boon. And a lot of people say it actually could be a curse.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
So, we're going to talk about that a little bit later on the program. I wrote a story about wiener dog races. There are wiener dog races all over the country. Wiener dog is a dachshund. I guess if you own a dachshund, you call them doxies. That's like the thing. Okay. You know, I've got a dachshund.
Officially.
Yeah. So last year, like a year ago, I wrote a story about the Wiener Dog Nationals, national competition in California. Well, I got a little bit of feedback from folks that say, hey, wait a minute. They're calling it the National Championship of Wiener Dogs, but we have a Wiener Dog National Championship here. We have one here. We have one. So there are actually wiener dog championships in Texas, along with the California one, in Texas, Ohio, Michigan, Florida, Louisiana, and guess what? There's been a couple in Utah as well.
Really?
Yeah. In fact, one up in Mill Creek, which is up, you know, the east side of the Salt Lake City area. And there was one in Cedar City at Iron Springs Resort.
Really?
A wiener dog. I don't know if they did one last year. They did it in 2022. I don't know if they didn't have enough participants or what, but I'm here to promote let's have a wiener dog championship right here in Southern Utah.
And a hot dog eating contest too.
And that's the cool thing they have surrounding it. So there's a place called Buda, Texas. It's Buda. It looks like Buddha, right? But they pronounce it Buda because they're beautiful there, I guess.
Oh, I like it.
But they have a whole wiener dog festival in Buda, Texas. It includes, like you said, hot dog eating contests. It has all kinds of hot dog or wiener dog swag.
No.
You know, t-shirts and hats and stickers and magnets for your fridge and spoons and whatever. It has, of course, the race, which is, I think it's 50 meters long there. So it's significant. I mean, it's short for a human, but that for a wiener dog with those little bitty legs, that's pretty long. And they even have a wiener dog costume contest.
Stop it.
And, you get the prizes almost as big to win the costume contest as it is to win the race, the wiener dog race.
Wow.
So yeah, I'm trying to imagine, like, do you put like mustard and ketchup and a bun around your wiener dog, or I don't know what the costume would be. But
oh wait, the dogs dress up. I thought people.
No, the dogs. The dogs. You dress your dog up.
The wiener dogs dress up as hot dogs.
Well, or whatever you want to dress your dog up like.
Stop it.
Yeah,
that's hilarious.
True. And in Meadowlands, New Jersey, Meadowlands is a famous horse racing track. Right? I mean, they got horse racing, they got, what do they call them, not chariots, but carriage, is that what they're called?
Yeah, I think so.
Harness, there we go, harness racing. But in between the harness races in June every year, they have wiener dog derbies, wiener dog races. And so they have it, like there'll be a horse race, and then there'll be a wiener dog heat. And then a horse race, and there's another wiener dog, and then narrow it down to the wiener dog finals. And the winner, by the way, of the Meadowlands Wiener Dog Derby gets $1,500.
Oh my gosh.
And this is a big and, you also get betting vouchers to bet on the horses.
Okay. Well, there's some value there, right, I guess. There.
The one in Michigan gives you, you get $1,000 if your wiener dog wins and a gift certificate for a free night stay at their bed and breakfast there.
Wow. So, I just have no words. That's something else.
Doxy ownership could be lucrative. if you work it right, especially if you have a fast wiener dog.
Do they have to be like purebreds? Or
they do. Well, so a couple of the competitions in the nation, they'll allow mixed breeds. But most of the true wiener dog derbies are you have to have a purebred dachshund, and you have to have proof of that. They do not. They have different categories if you have a mixed breed.
Okay.
So because they want wiener dogs only to run against wiener dogs.
Yeah, that'd be unfair.
It's understandable. Yeah, I mean, you don't want some long-legged puppy in there, or you know, a half greyhound taking all the taking all the cash home. Right.
Oh, that's so interesting.
And also want to talk about, so this was strange. I don't know if I talked about it. Did I talk about this on the show? The alert we got from my son? I don't think I did too much. I wrote a story about it, but I got a text on Saturday night, 9:30 or so at night. This was last Saturday. We're in Salt Lake. And it says, and I'm going to quote it exactly, crash detected, SOS. I called emergency service from this approximate location after iPhone detected a crash. You are receiving this message because I have listed you as an emergency contact. It was from my oldest son's phone.
Oh.
Now, you're a mom. You have, what, 7 kids?
Yeah.
Imagine getting a text from your kid's phone that says, crash detected. I have called emergency services.
I'd be scared. Yeah.
Moms and dads don't like to get those kinds of texts. Those are panic-inducing texts. So, of course, immediately I tried to call him. I tried to text him. No answer. We called his friends, people, you know, acquaintances, friends, people he hangs up with. We found nothing out. And the little pin that it sent along with that that notice was from near San Hollow Reservoir.
Oh.
On the highway there by San Hollow Reservoir. And so we're thinking, okay, he loves to go to San Hollow. He lives fairly close to there.
Yeah.
And is there all the time. We're thinking he got in a crash maybe in the parking lot or pulling out or something in, of the parking lot there at San Hollow. And, but because we didn't hear anything back at all for a while, we were starting to worry. Half hour later, we get the same message, the SOS, emergency service, crash detected, et cetera. And we're like, oh, boy, so why would we get a second? Is it a repeat of the first one? Was there another crash? What's going on here? And we're at my other son's house, and my other son says, well, maybe, Dad, maybe he dropped his, maybe his phone was on the roof of the car, and you know, and maybe the phone got in a crash, not actually our son. And I'm like, you know, I hope so. That would be good.
So what happened? What was it?
Oh, that's the best part of the story.
Oh, I have to wait till the end to hear it, I guess.
My son actually was exactly right. My oldest son, AJ, had put the phone on the roof of his car and drove away. He had been at San Hollow, drove away, went to drive home, and when he got up to speed, you know, 50 miles per hour, an hour or whatever, the phone flew off the car and onto the road. Thus, the Apple iPhone said, oh, I'm in a crash.
Oh, my
goodness.
And
I'm going to send out these alerts.
So it was legitimate.
It, well, kind of, yeah. I mean, my son wasn't in a crash, but the phone was.
Yeah.
And apparently got run over because when he did go back. Now, he finally texted us about. So we got the text alert about 9:30. About 11:30, he finally texted us and said, yeah, I put the phone on the roof of my car. It fell off. It looks like it got run over. And I was like, so your phone is trashed? And if it is, how are you texting me? And he said, well, it's, you know, my laptop is tied in with my account too.
Oh.
I'm texting you from my laptop. My phone is dead. It's unrecoverable.
That's
interesting. And he being a realtor, as you know, as a realtor, it's kind of important to have your phone.
It is. Wow. That's so interesting. I had no idea that it sent out an alert.
So it made me curious. I called Tiffany Mitchell, St. George Police Department, and I called dispatch, and I said, hey, does this happen a lot? And dispatch said, actually, yeah, it happens all the time. And I said, well, is it getting to the point where it's taking up valuable resources, a policeman who could actually be doing other important things? And they said, well, you know what, here's the thing. It happens a lot, and most of the time it is a false alarm. Someone did that, left the phone on the roof of their car or dropped it off of their roof or whatever. They said, but if we save one life, if it was a real accident and we save one life because someone wasn't able to call, it's worth it.
Yeah, like if it's a one-person rollover or if it's something where there's nobody
there. Yeah, imagine you're in a crash and you can't, you know, for me, I keep my phone in my pocket when I'm driving.
Mm-hmm.
if I get in a crash and I'm disabled or I'm trapped or whatever, trying to get into my pockets, that's not going to be easy to do.
That's why you don't text and drive, because it's in your pocket. That's a great idea.
Yeah, I don't. In fact, when I get a text and my wife is in the car with me, she'll say, give me your phone.
Oh.
I'm not even allowed to look at it.
That's so awesome.
Yeah. But happy to say my son is okay. He got a new phone on Monday morning. Mm-hmm. The bad news is the phone he wanted, they only had pink. So he had to get a pink phone, which I will probably give him a hard time about for some time to come. But although he's going to buy a cover that won't not be. And, you know, that's the thing about phones. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what color your phone is because you're going to put a cover on it anyway. Right. What really matters is what color your cover is.
Right. So when it flies off the car, it's a little more protected.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, true. So I'm happy to say AJ's okay, though.
That's great. That's great. I'm glad to know that. I didn't know that before.
Yeah, iPhones. Now, I can't speak for Samsungs and the other models of other phones, but I know iPhones have that 14. It's not the old ones. It has to be a 14 or newer. They do have a crash alert detection system, and it will send out actually a message to your emergency contact and to 911 services that there's been an incident. So,
Very nice. Huh?
All right. Earlier this week, I had a chance to talk early on the morning show. It was in the 8 o'clock hour with Colby Jenkins on Tuesday and with Celeste Molloy on Wednesday. Those two are running for congressional seat, congressional district seat two. Colby went first. I thought, you know, maybe a lot of people weren't listening or you know, maybe can't turn on the radio till after 9 o'clock. So I thought I would play their two quick interviews. They're 5 minutes each. So we're going to start with Colby. This is Colby from Tuesday. I've got Colby Jenkins on the line with me. Colby, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Andy. How are you?
Great. It's good to talk to you. How's your daughter Olivia doing out there in the at the West Point?
Yeah, she's actually in Cambodia right now on a summer program with a bunch of cadets. So yeah, she's traveling the world.
Yeah, she's a did I hear you say she's a triathlete? Now she's running triathlons?
She is, yeah. She competed at the NCAA National Triathlon Championships a few weeks ago in San Diego and doing great.
I think I could do a triathlon if they just eliminated the swim part. Oh, and the bike and the running too. I get rid of all those.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you.
Colby is running for Congress, and Colby, I feel like you're gaining a lot of momentum. Tell us about, I mean, you got guys like Mike Lee and Rand Paul endorsing you and promoting you. What's going on?
Yeah, our message is one that wins. It's a winning message, and when people hear it, when they meet me, when they meet our team, they flip and they want to be part of a winning team. They want to see their values, their Utah values, their conservative constitutional beliefs defended, not rationalized, not marginalized, but actually stood up for and voted for and represented. And so that's what we're carrying throughout the district, and that's what's carrying today. You know, we won at the state convention by 14 points. We won at the Washington County convention by 12 points. Uh-huh. So when people hear our message, when they meet us, when they meet me, they want to be part of the winning team. And so it's exciting to see that grow.
Let's talk about experience a little bit. Obviously, your opponent, Celeste Molloy, has some experience having been an assistant with Chris Stewart and also now, of course, serving a little bit of time in Congress. But you have a different kind of experience. Tell us about your experience in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, so I'm a combat veteran Green Beret, and coming out of my combat operations and deployments, my command sent me to Washington, D.C., where I served as a Green Beret liaison to Congress, first in the Senate and then in the House of Representatives, and then worked for several years back in the Pentagon, where I was a legislative director for the vice chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. So combined nearly 9 years in Washington, D.C. So, yeah, this will certainly not be my first rodeo working back there.
I want to ask, what's more dangerous, the Mideast or Washington, D.C.? I'm joking, of course. A different kind of danger in Washington, D.C., I guess.
For sure, yeah. And at least when I'm in combat, I know generally who the enemy is and where the bullets are coming from.
Yeah, that's a great point. What do you see as being maybe some of the biggest issues that Utahs want you to talk about, want you to address if you are elected to Congress?
Yeah, throughout the 13 counties of our second district, without fail, the number one issue is the border. What will I do to help secure the border? Am I going to actually vote to fund closing our border, or am I going to vote to fund more detention beds and facilities like my opponent did? Am I going to actually vote to close the border. That's the first priority I'm asked about, and that I will manage when and if we're fortunate to win. And then after that, it's certainly our water and land. How will I stand between the federal government and their overreach into our water and land back here in the district? And that begins by voting for President Trump, which I've done twice before and will do again this time, which again, my opponent did not do. And so it's important that we start there with leadership and that we support that leadership.
I don't envy anybody that goes to Congress knowing the battle you have to fight against the current presidency and against, even some of the majorities like you have in the Senate and, you know, the slim majority that the Republicans have in the House. It just seems like it'd be so hard to get anything done, Colby. Is that true?
It sure is when Republicans fail to vote and act like Republicans. When Republicans join what's called the Uniparty, when those lines have actually defending constitutional conservative values, when that line is lost or blurred, and you have Republicans like my opponent that vote with every Democrat for spending bills that actually leave the Republican majority and vote with more Democrats, then that's when that slim majority becomes fruitless, becomes meaningless, because we actually leave it. We surrender. And that's not what you'll get from me.
All right, give us some key dates coming up, Colby, on which we can maybe think about voting for you and getting you to that general election. What are the big dates coming up?
Yeah, the mail-in ballots actually begin getting mailed out tomorrow.
Wow.
So all of us could be seeing your ballot hit your mailbox Friday or this weekend. And the actual election day is June 25th, but you can begin voting as soon as you get that ballot. So I would encourage you to everyone to please don't put your ballot off to the side where it may get tossed, to actually open it up and vote and vote for me. I'll be the first one there on in the second district ballot position. So please vote for me and send it back in. And if you have questions or concerns, please take a look at our website, Colby4Utah, forutah.com, where we've got interviews, podcasts, position statements, all kinds of information. And then another fun thing, June 10th, so Monday, at 10 a.m. Will be my first and only debate with Celeste Malloy. I've challenged her to debate in every county, just like she did last year. She hasn't accepted that. But we do have one debate sponsored by the Utah Debate Commission Monday at 10 a.m. And it'll be broadcast by Utah's PBS network.
So we can catch it at least online if we can't be there in person, right?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Okay, very good. All right, Colby, got to run. Thank you for coming on today and good luck with the election.
Thank you, Andy.
All right. I want to get – now, I know both of these people, Celeste, and we're going to play her in a minute, and Colby. I want to get your impression, Mello, on what Colby Jenkins had to say just now.
I liked what he had to say. I'm military family, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? So I do yeah. like that aspect of it. He's obviously raised a really great daughter if she's able to get into
them,
West
yeah,
Point, right?
Yeah, agreed.
The only thing that kind of just – didn't set well with me is when he said that Celeste didn't vote for Trump, but I think she just didn't vote for anybody.
Right.
But I don't know, but that was the only thing that I didn't like.
Yeah, I understand. All right, let's do this. Let's play Celeste, and then I'll get your reaction on Celeste, and also just kind of on both of them together and what you think in this race. We're not going to tell people how to vote, and honestly, I think both candidates would actually do great mm-hmm. the next few years in Congress. But here's Celeste. Celeste Malloy is with me via the telephone, the Congresswoman. Hey, Celeste, how are you?
I'm great. How are you, Andy?
I'm good. Thanks for coming on the program today. Now, you guys got a town hall. Is that today?
Yes.
Oh, very cool. Tell us about it. What's coming up?
Jim Jordan and I are doing a town hall together today on the Political Head Trauma podcast
Wednesday.
In Tooele. So if you can tune into that, I think it'll be worth your time. If not, we'll be sharing it on our social media later, and you can watch it later.
Okay. So what's the best, if I want to watch it live, streaming it, how can I find that or listen to it anyway?
I think we'll post on our social media the link. But you can just Google Political Head Trauma Podcast Utah and find it.
Very cool. Now, ballots mailed out, I think today or tomorrow. So we should all be getting them in our mailboxes shortly. Celeste, it feels like to me, and you can, I guess you can disagree or agree if you want to, but it feels like to me you're just kind of barely getting your feet wet, just really getting into it. And for you to, you know, if you were to lose the primary here, they would be like, man, she didn't really get a chance to show what she's made of. How do you feel about that?
Well, I have only been in office for 6 months.
Yeah.
So I'm proud of the work I've done in 6 months. But yeah, I've got a lot more work to do, and I'm just gearing up on a lot of things. So I would love to have a full term to be able to make some of these changes that I'm working on making right now. But I feel good about my chances. I'm planning on just continuing to represent this district and continuing to get good work done.
Now, one of the reasons I liked you right from the beginning, Celeste, back, 6 months ago, or a little bit longer than that, but is the fact that you could hit the ground running. You already were familiar with what's going on in Washington, D.C. as a helper for Chris Stewart. And it felt like to me you had the ability to just really get in there and get going right away. Is that true?
Yeah. I've introduced, I think, 9 or 10 bills. I've co-sponsored dozens of others. There's a lot to be said for knowing how to operate on the Hill. It takes people time to learn that. And even for me, I had things to learn. Staffers don't know everything the members know, but I had a huge leg up on that. And I think that's been a real advantage for the people in Utah's 2nd District. And, you know, anytime you get a new member of Congress, there's kind of a lag where they figure things out. And I think that lag was shorter with me than it would have been with anyone else.
Oh, that's good to hear. Tell us maybe what are some of the big issues that you have been emphasizing. I know your specialty really is lands and those types of topics. Tell us kind of what has been important to you in this first 6 months.
In the first 6 months, I've tried to pick up a lot of the things that people in the 2nd District were asking for help with before I got there. One of the reasons there's a lag when you get a new member of Congress is because there's not a lot of institutional memory. Everything folds up and you stand up a totally new office. Having worked in Congressman Stewart's office, I had some institutional memory. So I've been working on things like the Northern Corridor and some of the water projects in rural counties and roads projects all over the district that required federal help. And I think it's been a really smooth transition where we've been able to keep a lot of those on track. And because we've been able to keep a lot of them on track, I don't think people realize how unique that is. Usually these things fall apart when you transition and then you have to rebuild them. And my specialty is in lands and natural resources, but right now that kind of is the hot topic and it spills over into everything else. For example, there's a lot of talk right now about whether we're going to hear this month that the Supreme Court is overturning the Chevron case. And people didn't even used to know what the Chevron case was unless you worked in, you know, government or natural resources areas. But it could be a big game changer for government regulation and how it works. And this is the kind of stuff I've been nerdy about for years. So it's an exciting time to be talking about what that would mean for the country. And I talk a lot in my campaign about how the balance of power between the branches is off. The executive branch is way too strong right now. The legislative branch has given up too much authority. And the Chevron case is the totem for that right now. I mean, it's kind of the symbol that everybody's looking at. And if the Supreme Court overturns that case, that means that the court won't defer to agencies the way it has for 40 years. And that means Congress is going to have to do a better job. And that'll help restore that balance of power between the branches, where Congress, which is accountable to the people, is doing more of the decision making and not leaving it to agencies and then complaining about it. So it feels like I'm here at exactly the right time to use the skills I have.
Very cool. Celeste, I got to run. The clock says you must move on. But I appreciate you coming on for a few minutes, and best of luck. Again, ballots go out today and a town hall today, 3 o'clock. Follow Celeste on social media for more information about that. Thank you, Celeste.
Thanks, Andy.
All right, Mello. I'm going to put you on the spot.
Okay.
You don't have to tell us who you're going to vote for. I think I know anyway. But what was your impression now of Celeste and then hearing the two back-to-back running for the same office?
I liked that she focused on what she's doing and what she has been doing. I really liked the seamlessness of how she was able to come from where she already was and then keep the momentum going on those projects. I like that she's from Southern Utah, and I met her, and she likes Dirty Dr. Peppers too. So
yeah.
I don't know. I really enjoy Celeste, and I liked the way she phrased all of her her ideologies and the things that she's working on, and that she has that background in land. And I think that she really does want to represent what the people want. And so I enjoyed listening to her.
I feel like it's almost an apples and oranges race. She has these areas of specialties. Colby Jenkins has these areas of specialties. And so as a voter, if you do the research, you're like, well, gosh, they're different. I think either candidate would make a great congressman. But
I agree.
In different areas, they're going to be good. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't think Celeste is good at, you know, at foreign policy and mm-hmm. that kind of, but I don't know that Colby is really too up on lands and land use and soils and things like that. So,
right. But I think either of them are capable of learning those things.
Mm-hmm. True.
So I think we wouldn't go wrong with either party, honestly.
All right. Clock says time to take a break, dude. Like 4 minutes ago. So I'm going to take a break. This is the Andy Griffin Show. When we come back, we'll talk. You're not going to believe what a YouTuber did in California. I mean, it's mind-blowing how crazy this person was. Also, there is a sugar substitute called xylitol that might just be killing people. All that's coming up when we come back.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk leader.
Hey, good morning to you. It's worth noting it is National Donut Day. If you're trying to watch your figure, I know that's kind of bad news, I guess. Those of you out there trying to watch your weight or whatever, but... I love this post. This was put up by the Washington County Sheriff. It's National Donut Day. Cops and donuts have a long history together. Historically, during these late night beats, donut shops were one of the few places open. Officers and deputies could go and get a late pick-me-up and snack, sometimes even getting warm on those cold winter nights. So on this great American holiday, stop out and enjoy a donut. If you see a deputy with a donut today, give him a wave. Except for Sergeant A, he's not allowed to have donuts.
Uh-huh.
I don't know who Sergeant A is, but I feel bad for him. Anyway, I know there are Daylight Donuts right down the road here. You've got the great donut shops all throughout the year. I think there's like 6 now in the county, maybe 7.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them are offering, you know, either discounted donuts or BOGO, buy one, get one free type donuts and... You know, discounts on dozens and things like that. Yeah. So
somebody brought some into the station.
Nuh-uh. There's donuts out there?
Yeah, but they bought them from a grocery store in the packaging, so it doesn't really count.
You have to pick
your own donut and
Come
see
on,
if somebody
man.
Else has touched it first.
Come
like, then
on,
you know you've
man.
Got a donut.
My daughter, by the way, is working. She lives in Provo. She's working in the bakery at Smith's. Mm. And she... makes it. I was gonna make it from scratch, but she puts the whole donuts together, the whole the bagels, donuts, breads, all that stuff.
Yeah,
she works midnight to about 10 a.m.
Oh my, like, that's crazy!
Wow, I thought I had a rough schedule because I come in at around 5. But
have you ever tried to make donuts from scratch?
Yeah, we've made them at home. Yeah they're never as good as
as good, and it makes me so frustrated.
Because you can make a cheesecake and it'll be as good or better. You can make cookies and they'll be as good or better. But somehow you can never quite get donuts as good as the pros.
I would like a recipe. If anyone has a recipe,
okay,
I would like that.
All right.
I'll make them.
National Donut Day. So, if you're out there, by the way, the National Donut Day was established in 1938. When the Salvation Army declared the first Friday in June as National Donut Day to honor the organization's donut lassies. These were the ladies who traveled to France during World War I to serve donuts and other snacks to the soldiers.
I love that. I did not know that history.
Yeah, pretty cool. National Donut Day. So I was reading The Wire this morning, and I try to find interesting stories and things to talk about on the air, and I read this story, and I'm like, nobody's going to believe this. So I don't know that I can even tell this on the air. And then I was like, but it has to be told. Okay, so here it is. A man from Studio City, this is in Southern California, is behind bars on suspicion of directing a YouTube video that features women shooting fireworks at a speeding Lamborghini from a helicopter.
What?
Federal prosecutors say 24-year-old Alex Choi posted the video to YouTube last 4th of July. The video was titled Destroying a Lambo with Fireworks and was filmed in El Mirage in a remote part of San Bernardino County. That's not very far from here. Choi has been charged with one count of causing the placement of an explosive or incendiary device on an aircraft.
Oh.
And having women shoot at a Lamborghini from a helicopter. This is like, no, this cannot be real. This got to be like a movie or something. No,
was it his Lamborghini?
I don't know. I don't know the details. Maybe there's more of the story that will come out later. But I think if you get enough hits on your YouTube channel, you can afford to destroy a Lamborghini. I guess.
You can. And that's why I'm wondering. He probably did purchase it for that. He probably should have just hired a production studio in California to, like, oversee it. So he'd have the licensing to be able to, like, fire stuff from an aircraft. I don't know. That's crazy.
I don't know either. Okay, there's a substance out there called xylitol, or birch sugar, they call it. It's a sugar substitute in a lot of things like, peanut butter, jellies, things like that. Not in all of them, but in some of them. Apparently, xylitol doubles the risk of having heart disease, stroke, heart attack, etc. Findings published by the Cleveland Clinic in the European Heart Journal. And by the way, birch sugar is way more common in Europe than it is in the United States. It's in a lot of things in Europe, but in just a few things here. But it's in things like sugar-free gum, jams and jellies, baked goods, peanut butter, and other things. Anyway, if you maybe are going to eat some jams or jellies or peanut butter or whatever, read the ingredients. If it has xylitol in it, it's not worth the risk. Imagine maybe twice as likely to have heart problems because you're eating this particular substance.
And that's trying to be healthy too, which is so counterproductive, yes. Right?
Yeah, try to be healthy and kill yourself. That's terrible. So, yeah. Okay, best restaurant in the world is in Spain. It's called Disfrutar, and they are known for having the Mediterranean menu and having the best service in the world, impeccable service. And I'm thinking it's a restaurant you and I could not afford to even drink water there. Probably. So.
Yeah, I don't know if their service could be better than Chick-fil-A.
They do have themselves a pretty good system, don't they?
Yeah, my pleasure. Yes.
All right, one of the questions I wanted to ask you and me and everyone out there listening today is money, Powerball, lottery. I don't play the lottery. I don't gamble. And even if I did, I don't know if I'm too lazy to drive to Beaver Dam and get tickets, right? Nevada doesn't have a lottery. Utah doesn't have a lottery. Although a legislator tried to get a Utah lottery passed in this last legislative session. Didn't work. It was defeated.
Oh, it was.
Yeah. But there are two national lotteries, Powerball and Mega Millions, right? And you can buy those in Arizona. You cannot buy them in Nevada or Utah. You can buy them in Idaho, though, or Arizona. And this past week, a lady from Oregon won the the prize of this one is almost unbelievable. The woman won won $1.3 billion.
That's awesome.
In the Powerball, $1.3 billion, not million, because that would change people's lives, but billion. That's 1,000 million or 1,300 millions.
Wow.
And so it got me to thinking, how much would that change your life if you won that much money? Now, you said you had heard, Mello, that a lot of people call it a curse.
They do. They do. But I think that's because everybody knows you won. So I think that I would get with an attorney if I won, and I would set up like a LLC or like a corporation to win the money, and then it would be hidden, and then I would just keep living my life the same way with a little more perks.
So if they said, hey, can we use your name and likeness to promote our lottery, you would say,
I would say no.
Not happening.
No.
Okay.
I would be anonymous.
Now, you have a job that's kind of like the lottery, because you can, like, sell nothing for 3 months, and then you sell $1 million house and come home with a giant check. So it's kind of lottery-ish. I'm not discounting the work you do for it, but I'm just saying it's a weird way to live as a realtor. But if you won a significant sum of money, like this lady in Oregon, or even if it was $100 million, would it change the way you lived?
I personally don't think it would change the way I live. It would change the way I travel and the way I support other people.
Hmm.
But I think I would still work. I think I would still want to do the same things. I wouldn't want people to know. I'd still probably live in my same house, just do a little more remodeling than I'm doing right now. I think I would enjoy, you know, blessing the lives of other people with what you have that they don't know about.
You know, I'm not a Bill Gates fan, but I'm not a Bill Gates hater. I know this, that he turned over a lot of his money and started some foundations to help other people, mm-hmm. because he was the richest man on earth for a while. And I think I would like to think if I had a bunch of money, I would do like you were saying. I would try to bless other people too. Mm-hmm. That's not to say though I wouldn't take care of myself. But I was thinking about it. I love my job, mm-hmm. great job. I actually right now have the exact vehicle I want. I'm right. I have a Toyota Tundra. I love my truck. Just love my truck. I love my wife. I love my house. I don't know that I would make too many changes. I told my boss, he was in the other day. I said, I might buy the radio station and fire all the people I didn't like. And he's like, uh-oh, do I need to worry? I'm like, no, I don't play the lottery. You're good. And I like you anyway. But, yeah.
So you don't play the lottery? You've never played it?
I've never played it, no. Oh.
Yeah, I will, like, if there's a big Powerball and I know someone's going to Beaver Dam, then I'll throw, like, 20 or 40 or 50 bucks at it, but I'm not all the time. And whenever we go to California, we always get the scratch-offs and just play them in the car on the way.
Never win anything? Fun.
Yeah, but he usually wins about as much as he plays. So maybe up, like, 50 or 100 bucks sometimes, but not very often.
Yeah, the odds
are for fun.
The odds are so low that you win the big one.
Yeah,
you could actually. The odds of you winning the lottery are about 1/3 the odds of you getting struck by lightning.
I know. My mom used to say that people that play the lottery are people that just aren't good at math.
Probably true.
Which is probably why I play sometimes.
We'll be right back.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back. It's already, 9:52. The show is flying by today. I'm Andy. Mello is here as well. Mello.
Hello.
To take your call, if you want to call 673-5890. If you want to text me, 467-5842. All right. I always like to refer to an article of the week, something I found during the course of my readings this week. And it seems like this guy, his name is Kurt Malberg. It's like every other week it's an article by him. And this week is no different. He writes about a story about a guy named Micah Price. Now, Micah just graduated from high school, or did he? That's the question here. So Micah was one of the commencement day speakers for the graduation for Campbell County High School in Kentucky. And for a few days, they didn't let him have his diploma after the graduation because of his speech. Now, let me read, Mello, what he said during his commencement speech. The first part he got approval for, by the way. He asked permission. He said, class, before another word leaves my mouth, and by the way, I have this on audio, but it was such garbage, it was hard to hear, so I'm just going to read it. Before another word leaves my mouth, I must give the honor, the praise, and the glory to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the crowd exploded, cheered, just loved it.
Aw,
right?
That's awesome.
Right? That part he got approved from. But then he continued, just mentioned Jesus Christ, and he said, who in his very words tells us he is the light, he is the way, the truth, and the life. Class, everyone in the audience today, I'm here to tell you that if you don't have any of those things in your life, if you can't seem to find the answer, then the Lord and Savior is your answer. He will give you the truth, give you the way, and give you the life. Well, they let him finish his speech, but after the ceremony, they told him he was not allowed to, he was going to have to go before the school board before he would be given his degree and explain to the school board, apologize and explain to the school board why he said those things in front of the commencement crowd.
What was the reaction? Does it say what the reaction to the crowd after that?
Oh, they loved it.
Oh, after the second section, they loved it.
Yeah, they loved it. They were cheering and enthusiastic and loved it. Micah said in an interview before he got his diploma, so after the speech, but before his diploma, he said, if anyone's in the wrong, it's me. I went against school policy, school rules. I went against that. But it's because I serve a higher power, because I serve Jesus Christ. My message was not to be disrespectful. It was not to do anything except for express my love for Christ and how much he has changed my life.
Hmm.
5 days after graduation, Price sat down with his principals and the school board and explained why he veered from his approved graduation speech to talk about Jesus. And he did, in fact, apologize for not telling them he was going to do that, I guess. But he did not back down from his message. He said, quote, "I would do it again times two." They gave him his diploma eventually. Right. So I guess he can say that. But, yeah, it's so funny because Mello, if he had gotten up and said, "I have decided that I am transgender and I want people to know that my life is so important because I found out I'm a woman in trapped in a man's body," they wouldn't have said a word. They'd have been like, "All right, that's cool."
Right. There is a double standard when it comes to Christianity. I do feel that's true.
Big time. Big time. So, and it's kind of disappointing. Kind of disappointing. Okay, we got 2 minutes. I want to talk about this viral thing that's happening. Okay, sometimes Utah gets a story and it goes viral, and everyone in the country is like, "Oh, really?" So this couple they're getting their apartment ready to move into. They're getting married. Mm-hmm. So day before they're getting married, they buy a mattress. And they're like, "Okay, we're going to buy this mattress. We're going to take it home and put it in our new apartment. So we're ready to go for when we're married tomorrow," right? Well, they got a truck and they got the mattress. And they put the mattress in the back of the truck, but they didn't have any tie downs. They didn't have any bungee cords or anything like that. So the bride and her husband-to-be were like, "I'll tell you what, I'll drive the truck, the guy. You lay on the mattress and keep it from going anywhere."
Oh, my gosh.
I am not kidding.
That's so silly.
So they get going about 50 miles an hour.
He didn't even go slow?
Mm-mm.
Oh, my gosh.
About 50 miles an hour. A gust of wind picks the mattress up. It lands back in the bed of the truck, but she did not.
No.
No. She hit the road at about 50 miles an hour.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, the happy part of the story is she wasn't killed. The sad part of the story is she was pretty banged up. Road rash all up and down her arms. She busted her front teeth in. She busted her lip. She had a huge scrape on her forehead. And, of course, she's getting married the next day.
No, did they postpone it?
They did not postpone the wedding. She went to the altar and got married with bruises and scrapes and chipped teeth. Ironically, coincidentally is a better word. Coincidentally, yesterday was National Secure Your Load Day in America. And yeah, they actually went on the local TV and urged people to don't lay on your mattress or stand in the back of your truck holding your TV or whatever. Secure your load properly so that things like what happened to her don't happen to you.
That's so sad. Right before your wedding?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Hopefully they had good bridals done before.
Well, yeah, seriously. And hopefully when in 20 years when they're looking back at their wedding pictures and she has this big old fat lip and scrape on her head and they can look back on it fondly and laugh and think, it's a good news story, right? She wasn't seriously injured. And they did something really stupid, and it's an object lesson for the rest of us to go, okay, I shouldn't do that.
Yeah. Have they ever flown a kite? Like, it's gonna lift.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, so
like
sad.
I said, at least there's a happy ending. And that happened up in Provo. Yeah.
Of course.
Happy Valley. Mello, it's always a pleasure hanging out with you. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
We're out of time. Hey, Monday, I've got Dr. Greg Jackson on. He's the guy that's putting on that big show, History That Doesn't Suck. He's going to come on and tell us all about his show. I'm looking forward to that. We also have a couple school board candidates coming on next week as well. Thanks so much for listening to my show. It's been great to talk to you. We'll see you Monday.